Everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand with Rose Bowl champions Tarek Salla and Derek Engler. Here's Alex Gravatt.
The Great Dane Huddle on 100.5. I'm Alex Gravatt, longtime producer of the show, sliding over into the host role alongside my guys Derek and Tarek. How are we doing, fellas?
G-Man.
Doing great.
Fantastic. Great. Well, I hate to overshadow
Congratulations,
you.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I mean, Sal and I, we've burned through some hosts over the years.
Can't wait for you to burn through me, too. I don't know.
This is a huge upgrade from Strofe, so we're really excited.
All right, I will make sure. Can you clip that, Riley? We're going to send that to him first thing in the morning. But more importantly, we have a very important person here with us today. It is the Godfather, Barry Alvarez. How are you doing? Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing great. Always good to be here. Fun to be with my former players.
Glad to hear it. We're going to get into the stuff, you know. Tyler Van Dyke, starting quarterback, the new Big Ten, the AP Top 25, and the Badgers aren't in it. But I need to know, before we get into any of that, on your watch, how is it possible that after over 20 years, we still did not have Tarek Salla, the all-time leader in sacks, in the Hall of Fame for UW Athletics? It just now happened?
Wait a minute. We're here to celebrate it.
We're here, absolutely. But we got to grill a little bit.
Why are you asking me?
You pull a lot of weight around these.
How the hell you think you got in?
Oh, perfect. Well, thanks so much for your time. And I guess we can jump right in. I know you guys have been sitting around talking a lot about your time at the casino recently, but. Did the Badgers possibly hit a jackpot of their own with Tyler Van Dyke? I mean, Derek, you've been talking about the X's and O's of the offensive line, but do you think that this quarterback can be the guy to get it done?
Well, you know what? Tarek's talked about this ad nauseum. You know, the quarterback position, and now I feel like we're in this, you know, kind of in the NFL type of free agency with the transfer portal and NIL and not really knowing a true evaluation of a quarterback. From what I understand and listening to Longo's public comments, is Braden Locke was – he's right there, 1A, 1B, and quote him, and that's the offensive coordinator. And, he earned some stripes last year when Tanner got hurt. I think that was very crucial for his development. And I don't know this guy from Miami. I like the fact that Braden's been here, but we want depth and we want – competition in that room, because that makes everybody better, bar none.
The competition's critical. He's been through three different coordinators in 3 years. So in order for a kid to leave a school, it can't be perfect, right? Otherwise, they do everything they could to keep him. So we got to take a guy, who's going to have a little bit of baggage from maybe a learning perspective or lack of experience. But he's with Coach Longo now. They have a great connection. He's got a lot of talent. He's got a bigger ceiling than the kid behind him, but Braden Locke has—he's been in the system longer. He's really efficient, but it's great competition, Coach. I mean, we were out there yesterday. Both guys looked like they knew what they were doing. Seemed pretty good.
Yeah, I saw him practice a couple times. I was impressed. I thought they ran through all the drill work, the teamwork. I thought was clean. They managed the team well. They released the ball well. It's down the field. It's where it's supposed to be. The thing I saw that impressed me that was much improved over a year ago was the play of the offensive line. A year ago we talked, and I told you I went to practice a couple of times. There was a breakdown every snap in the offensive line. You can't run an offense if that happens. I didn't see that when I watched practice this week. I saw the line is secure. They covered people up. They ran the ball well. They were throwing it around. I think it looks like a very efficient offense.
Coach, you went to Platteville too, and
right.
and
I can't hear.
You know, I got to be honest with you. You know, I thought a lot about that, and I had a conversation with Coach Fickell, and he said it needed to be longer. They did 1 week last year. They did 2 weeks this year. And we all know, Tarek and I, and you know how important the old Holy Name Seminary was. And what were we there, 4 weeks? Five, six?
It seemed like no air conditioning.
No air conditioning. Just that environment to get away. How important is that? Because Tarek and I and all of your former players at Holy Name talk about that all the time. And it truly, not only in life, but at that present moment as a team, the bonds that were created there, you just can't recreate that.
It's team building.
Yeah.
It's a week. It's a 10 days. It's 2 weeks of being with a group of guys and really getting to know them. You're there at breakfast with them. You're there 24/7 with these guys. And what I tried to do, and as you remember, we would, in our meetings at night, we'd always start with some type of exchanges so you got to know one another. You know, stand up and tell us, who do you respect most on this team? Just different things like that. So guys could express themselves and talk about teammates and build a camaraderie and get a team that knows one another. Because it's hard nowadays. Guys are living, you know, if you just start on campus, you practice together and everybody just takes off. The older guys have, apartments downtown. The young guys go back and are sequestered to a dorm. They don't get to know one another.
You remember this. I mean, Tarek, remember our freshman year, we still had freshman camp before training camp started with the vets. And Coach implemented this where, you know what, everybody's going to stay to as much as he could with another player of another race. And that was really important, especially as a freshman coming in. I mean, I'm coming from Minnesota. Not a lot of diversity, like Wisconsin and Minnesota. So my freshman year roommate was Rod Spiller, good defensive lineman from East St. Louis, Missouri. Different background. I mean, guys talk about that all the time, Tarek, and you know that too as well.
No doubt. To build that chemistry, every year you got to start over. We know we won the Rose Bowl that 94 year, 93-94, and we had a great chemistry. The next year we fell off a little bit. We finished great, but I don't think that the chemistry is good. Every year you got to reboot, you got to come together. And what the seminary did, it added that toughness, that exterior toughness. You had the 1,000-yard stare because you had to go through. You know, the grass was up to your, you know, high ankles, and
wet in the morning.
The dew. There was no vacation there.
But G-Man, I got to tell you, what Coach would do is there were little nuggets in all of that hell, and it was either a Mike Tyson fight in the game room that he'd get for us. It was bringing Haagen-Dazs into the cafeteria.
Cold watermelon.
Get a water break every once in a while.
That's a big one.
Yes, sir. I mean, it was all those little things. He just bring you back in, you know, and you'd appreciate it so much more. You'd appreciate it because we all worked hard together, and we felt like, okay, Coach has given us a little something. We need to appreciate this. So
this is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Rose Bowl champions Derek Angler and Tarek Salla. And, of course, today we have Barry Alvarez. And the guys are talking, Barry, about all of the things that you did to help create a team. And it sounds like the chemistry was really important. How do you continue to build chemistry when you have a new face at the most important position on the field at quarterback?
Well, a lot of that has to do with the quarterback. Mm-hmm. It has to do with him allowing himself to get to know the rest of the players and vice versa. So there has to be exchange, and that's why going to a seminary, going to Platteville, where they're together 24/7, and it's practice, then it's meetings, it's eating together, it's meetings again. So those guys are together, you're hanging out together, you have some free time, and you don't leave. There's no place to go, and so it's up to him to get out there and meet the players and the older players to embrace him and them to get to know one another. That's how you build a team. The older players have to embrace the young guys, and the young players, they have to exert themselves and get out and meet the rest of the the team that's already established.
And, Coach, wouldn't you say now more than ever in the era of transfer portal, NIL, you might have a 20 to 30% turnover on your team in a given year. Now more than ever that is important because and there have been a handful of coaches in the National Football League that can do that, that can somehow amongst professionals still create that team bonding in the NFL as
those
pros.
Those are the ones that are winning.
Amen, Coach. You got that
those
right.
Those are the ones that
win. That's right. That's right.
So that's building a team. That's how you build a team.
But it's now you're dealing with that in the college ranks when you have turnover, which we never did. We were with the same guys for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, grinded through all that. So those relationships were built over a lot longer time, where now you got a lot of new guys in the mix every year.
Yeah, every year you have, and every class.
Every class.
You get seniors coming in, new juniors. You know, every class has a new mix. And that's a lot of that's on the coaches, that the coaches have to do some research and study the people that want to come, the people that want to transfer, the guys that you're going after. You better make sure you've done your homework that they're going to be a fit for what you want and the type of chemistry you want and the chemistry you have on your team. Will they fit in Madison?
Hey, Derek, one tidbit from yesterday. I saw, Coach, I think you backed me up on this, there were two or three freshmen in the two-deep rotation. And I know it might be out of necessity, but these guys look like they earned it. They look like they belong.
What position?
The one kid was, I think, and I don't know if I could disclose whatever, but Malman's banged up. They had number 55 from California.
Oh, yeah.
A long, young athletic buddy. Kid. He looks like he's going to be a player, but he got in there and he worked. He looks like he blocked.
What about the Mount Carmel kid, the horse, the running back?
Well, I was just worried about the old line and the quarterback. I didn't get to the running back. The running backs look good. They look like they're flying around. You know, it's hard when they're not getting tackled.
The four-star that I've been hearing good.
Everybody, all that.
What's his number? Tell me his number. I'll tell you, maybe I might have noticed it.
We'll check that.
If it's 31, I think he really looked good. Yeah. Running back looked really good.
If you step from a high level, collectively, it looked a lot better than last year, speed-wise,
not even
execution.
Close. Not even close.
Well, that's right.
Great to hear. Well, the players look better than last year, but I want to hear a little bit more about what the competition from last year to this year looks like. We'll do that next. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. On 100.5 ESPN. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside the Rose Bowl champions, Derek Sala. Whoa, Derek Engler and Tarek Sala.
Whoa, you're about to get fired now.
No,
you're staying on the job.
Well, you guys are drinking. I'm getting the contact
what?
Buzz
no,
going or something. I don't. Of
hey,
course.
You're judging now. That's it. You're out.
Oh, man. It was a good segment to be better than Alex Stroff, and now we're
hey,
all done.
It's a lively night. Downtown Great Dane. I mean, we got
a whole wedding party.
We
here.
Got a wedding party, D.C. and
Los Angeles. Was it?
I think it
they,
was.
They pulled our very
never
special guest.
Cheese curds.
Never
taken,
had
taking pictures with Coach. You know, I mean, this is.
I thought it was ridiculous that there was a line at the door, and they're giving chits, letting one at a time come in to listen to the show.
Absolutely.
I thought that was a little over the top. I was surprised.
It's only because you're here, Coach, not because Tarek and I.
Oh, no, no. You guys draw a crowd every time. Don't let them know. This is the regular for you two. We were talking about it a little bit off the air, right? There's a handful of top 25 teams that we're going to be playing as the Wisconsin Badgers. I say we liberally as a graduate, but you are the real Badgers. And Coach, I want to hear your opinion. There are four teams that I'm curious how you'd rank. We play fifth-ranked Alabama. Then we go to 23rd-ranked USC. Later in the season, we host 8th-ranked Penn State, and then on my birthday, November 16th, Oregon comes to Camp Randall. Which of those four games do you think the Badgers have the best chance at winning?
I think it's all the same. I think we have a chance to win all of them. I don't think anyone stands out that we have a better chance to beat Alabama or a better chance to beat Penn State or or whoever. Hell, we can beat any of these teams. The important thing is how we've beaten teams in the past, beaten teams that are ranked very high. Our offensive line really has to play well, and we have to be physical up front, and we have to do things a little differently than they do. And I think we have a chance to be able to do that.
Coach, can I ask you, so we had, to just expand on the offensive line, obviously, you know, being a former one, I, you know, there was a little bit of drop-off. You know, we had the Anderson Project, and there, the cupboard got bare a little bit, you know, in the offensive line with Gary Anderson. And then, you know, Paul was in here. We had some guys, but we not quite like what we were used to. And when you took the job here in 1990 at the University of Wisconsin, I know this, obviously, one of your absolutes was to close down the borders and right. get the big palookas, as to quote you, to stay home. Because there's a lot of them.
Got a bunch of them. Got a lot of big guys in this state.
That's right. That's right. And obviously last year was not a good experiment. You know, with Jack Bicknell, the offensive line coach,
yep.
fired, where do you think we are at? And I know Coach Fickell, and you know this too, how much he values the trenches, obviously, because he was one of them.
Being a defensive player, myself and Luke, most defensive coaches, head coaches, teams are going to be physical. So when you move to the offensive side of the ball, that's going to start with the offensive line. And that's where I started, because I knew the state and I'd recruited here enough. I knew we had big guys in the state, and I knew we could consistently recruit linemen. Offensive linemen, they may not be polished, they may not be ready to play, but if they can bend, they can move, and they'll hit you, they'll stick their nose in there, we can teach them how to play. And that's what we did. That's what we built the program on. And those who have done that, Brett did the same thing. He carried that tradition. And when you realize the strength, you have to, regardless of where you are, you have to, take into consideration the strength of what you can recruit consistently. If you're in the South, if you're in Alabama, you're in Florida, you can get all the skill you want. We can't get that kind of skill here. We'll get a couple. We'll get a few, maybe one or two from in-state, and then you got to go out-state and get them. But you can get linemen consistently, so that's what you build your program on.
And just to add on this, A.J. Blazek, and now we have Casey Rybak now is officially the assistant O-line coach. I think we're getting
one of our own.
We got two great coaches, and I think Coach and I saw yesterday with those guys being physical, fast, and they look like they didn't have miscues that they had last year. I think we're getting back on path to what you're discussing and getting back to old Badger football.
Well, to expand on that a little bit, Tark, obviously Casey's a friend. He was a young buck in that O-line room when I was a senior, and to see him really to come to a place where he really wanted to be, it took a while, and he grinded a little bit, obviously, right. in the recruiting yeah. department. So he earned his stripes, so to speak, and he deserves to be there, and we're really fortunate to have him there. And with Coach Blazek, if the two of them mesh, which I'm sure they are, and are on the same page, I'm not sure and just had some conversations off the field with Casey last year. I'm not sure he was totally all in what was going on. And obviously the coaching of the offensive line, hence we lose that position, coach, a reason.
So. No doubt. But they made the changes, and I think it's reflecting on what we see in practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's coach, I don't know. You know, you tell us. When you go recruit the offensive lineman in state, just tell us, give us a sample how you would go about it.
Well, you first have to identify them. So you're looking at film. I'd like to go out and see if they played other sports. I want to see if they play basketball. Can they move their feet? If they wrestle, I love wrestling, the wrestling football combination. Can they bend? Do they throw the shot put? Do they have explosion? So I like multi-athletes, multi-sport athletes, and particularly
especially
in the
offense, big men.
And the big guys.
Yeah.
You want athletes in there. You want some big slug.
Amen.
Just see some big palooka that's going to think he's going to maul everybody. You only need an athlete. We can put weight on him. We can get him stronger. We can do all that stuff.
Then you have a 245-pound soaking wet T. Sala throwing him to the ground, you know, because they're not an athlete.
Well, that's right. Even Solid did that.
Yeah.
He threw a couple to the ground. That's it. And he got thrown to the ground a few times, too.
That's right. You just got to get back up. That's all.
This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. We are Alex Gravatt alongside Rose Bowl champions Tarek Sala, Derek Angler, and, of course, the Don. So we're talking a little bit about what's going on the recruiting trail. We're talking a lot about how this culture is being built and what you need from these players. But there's a lot of guys on the other side, too. The new Big Ten is kind of daunting, and I think that there's a chance that this could be a really telling year on what the rest of
maybe
even the decade. Because you've got a lot of new high-level talent, and it needs to be the kind of year where the Badgers raise.
But G-Man, you got to understand, you know, the coach is sitting on my left. I mean, we beat the Pac-12's ass. Like, Pac-12 wasn't even in our league, not even close, and I mean that, no pun intended. Like, they got their ass beat, and I, you know, even to the point where, you know, that Oregon game in Rose Bowl 2011, 10 or 11, one of the two, we're right there, and that was a really good Oregon team.
It was
really good Oregon team, but I don't see those two teams coming, or four, I guess.
We had LSU beat in that bowl game. That bowl game was really
the LSU up in Lambeau. It was kind of a home game.
And these other teams, they all have new quarterbacks too. Oregon's got a new one. Alabama's got that backup.
To go back, what Coach echoed, which team? What? None of them. That would have been his answer when we were playing as seniors. None of them. We're not afraid of any of them.
They've contacted me. One of the schools in particular contacted me. I'm a friend of the athletic director. Will you talk to my coaches and tell them what to expect in the Big Ten? When they come into the Big Ten, what to expect? And I said, yeah. So they called, and I had a conference call with the staff. And I said, I'm going to tell you what Joe Paterno said when they came into the league the week after we played Penn State, like on that Wednesday. And I've known Paterno, you know, since I was a high school kid. Paterno, that's what I kept telling him. You're old as dirt. You were around when I was a little kid. You were the head coach there. You know? So he calls me the week after we play them. That was that first year they're in the league, I think 95. Does that sound right? It was a shootout. It was 34-31 game. It's a hell of a game. They beat us at the end up here. He called on Wednesday, said, you know what? We just came out of a staff meeting. We just realized we have to change all of our philosophy in recruiting. We haven't practiced yet since your game. We are so beat up after the game. The game was so physical that we haven't practiced. Maybe we'll get out there in helmets and shoulder pads tomorrow. That's Thursday to get ready for the game and to get ready for the league. So one of the teams called me this year. The AD said, would you talk to my head coach? And I told him that. I said, listen, whatever you've been doing, I know you have great players. You got a reputation of that. You better go get big guys, bigger guys than you have, because you're going to get pounded every week. And if you don't, you won't have enough to get through the season. And then I just heard something about that team this week. I heard it nationally where they're out signing all these real big offensive guys, which is smart. That's what you need in our league, because it is physical, man. And the leagues they're coming from, that's not what they do. They're setting up pass pro all day, and guys like Sala are trying to run around you. Nobody's running through you.
That's right. Well, you know, you have those four teams that we talked about. Then, you know, you have Iowa. You have Rutgers, who's getting stingy. They're learning the league. You have Northwestern, who's getting better. You have the regular Nebraska. They're already writing their own press clippings.
They
haven't
one after
it
another.
Out yet either.
I'm going to quote.
They haven't arrived yet. No.
I'm going to quote Coach. It's hard to win in this league. It just that's never changed. It has never changed. It's hard, and it's getting harder, obviously, bringing more competitive teams in this league. And teams that have been, quite honestly, I mean, Washington's been there. You know, obviously, you know, Oregon's been there. You know, we'll see about UCLA and USC. I just never
the first
really...
time through the league will be a shock for a lot of them. It will be.
What was Nebraska supposed to do? They're supposed
to run it. They did nothing.
And they were a physical brand of football. And they haven't yet defined themselves.
They were really... on the downslide of that, though.
Yeah.
When they came into the league, they weren't the Nebraska that
their
we
first,
all know.
Their first year, they had a chance. And it was a hell of a game because they were ranked, and that was Bo Pelini years, and they had that big nose tackle
Sue,
the Dominican Sue. So you know they were, but if they had a chance, it was then. And since then, no.
But it's not easy. I think that's the point, right? It's just you're not going to roll.
There are
your
no shortcuts.
No shortcuts. Do you think that there's anything that the Badgers will have to do to change their game to match up against the high flying kind of fancy brand of offense that the West Coast brings?
No, because we've seen that. You know, every year we go, you know, our people, the new people coming in the league, everybody's trying to spread you out. I mean, they're going to play, come out for it. So what? I mean, our guys see that. That's no big deal for us. It's harder, believe me. It's harder if there's nothing more demoralizing if somebody's running the ball at you and you keep putting more people in the box and they keep knocking you off the ball. And keep the ball and go down the field and score, and you come trudging off the field, and you have no answers. That's demoralizing. Now somebody could throw it over the top. Oh, so what? Let's line up and go again. Nobody's bruised.
To Coach's point, I'm not sure the former Pac-12 teams that are joining the Big Ten really understand what the first week of November is, cold as hell, and literally – having big palookas hit you in the face, hit you in the nose, time and time and time again. I don't know if they're ready for that.
So you're saying that November 16th, when Oregon comes here.
I'm interested on that one.
On my birthday, I could get a big old birthday present?
I don't know if Oregon's ready for that
weather. Let's hope it's cold that day.
Yeah, let's hope it's freezing cold. Amen.
No, absolutely.
They played in cold weather.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're not as accustomed to it as our guys are. So
I mean, those are all LA skill guys, man. They ain't ready for it.
You know, the thing as a coach that you always look for an edge. Whatever the edge might be, you find it. I find something that I could sell my players that we have an edge. And if it's the weather, it's weather. If it's the turf, it's the turf. It's the style of football, it's the style. Whatever it might be, that's what you sell your players on.
Well, the Great Dane has an edge, and that is better beer. The Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, it's a perfect place to come enjoy a warm weather beer like the Crop Circle Wheat or the crisp and clean German Pilsner. Or you can come here on a day like today when it's kind of crummy out, right? And it is a safe haven. It is warm here, and you can try the Great Dane's oldest recipe, Stone of Scone, a Scottish-style ale. I know that's what I'm going to be having as soon as the show is over. Try their beers on tap at any of their locations, Fitchburg, Hilldale, East Madison, and downtown. And do not forget, you can take some in cans on the way home to enjoy whenever you'd like. This is the Great Dane Huddle, presented by the Great Dane here on 100.5 ESPN.
1,000 miles of gravel, I've been walking with no shoes. No matter how far I come, I cannot run my roots. I think you know why I do what I do when I do.
The Great Dane Huddle rolls on your Thursday night, usually a Monday night show. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Derek. I did it again. Derek Engler and Tarek Saleh. And of course.
Yeah, usually my name's the one that's screwed up. Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah.
Tarek, is it?
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
Got it.
Now we're consistent.
And Barry Alvarez joins the show. It's been a couple years of middling seasons for the Badgers, right? But I'm curious, what are realistic expectations for the Badgers this year? We've talked a little bit about it. I know, Derek, on Crosstalk with Jim, Matt, and Molly, you said that you thought it was going to be a winning season for the Badgers. But ESPN gives them a possibility of going 500. What do we think the realistic expectations should be for a Badger team that feels like it's on the upswing?
Well, I mean, I'm with Coach. I think realistic expectations are going to come from your leader in Coach Fickell, who is running a program a lot like our former coach. And go figure, he's same class as Tarek and I. And I locked horns with him at Ohio State, nose guard. So he is focused, dialed in, the same way Coach Alvarez is. We're not happy, satisfied to beat Minnesota, to beat Iowa, to beat Michigan State. That's not our ball game here at the University of Wisconsin. We go after Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. Period. End of story. Done. And that was Coach Alvarez for us. Literally, he goes, we are going to take every game by game, and every game is important. Every game has its rivalry in Iowa, in Minnesota, in Illinois. But who we're gunning for is bigger, because we want to be Big Ten champions, period.
Coach, does that still ring true?
Yeah. You want to win every game, and you want to make every game important. You put an emphasis on that week. But when these guys were playing, Ohio State's winning the league every year. Michigan's winning Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State, I guess, at that time. They're winning the league. So those are the guys you have to, I want to beat Iowa. We want to beat Iowa because it's a rivalry game. Minnesota's a rivalry game. We know that. They're important games. But those other three, I want to win the league. So you got to beat those other guys. You got to beat Ohio State, and you can't be intimidated by them. Most people, when they play a school like that who's winning all the time, they're intimidated and they're beat before they even start.
Penn State came in the league in 94. So, and they were really, really
good.
And I had a future teammate with New York Giants and Kerry Collins, and he had Joe Jurevicius, and he had Jonna Carter and running back. He had LeVar Arrington. He had Brandon Short on defense. He had Brandon Noble on D-line. They had a really, really good team. The year before that, they had the longest unbeaten streak in college football. And Tarek went off on a crazy mission. Him and Jason Manecki dominated that game up front defensively for us. And we got out of Happy Valley, ended that streak where we had a lot of struggles that year in 95.
Yeah, a lot of struggles. We were a young team.
Yep.
But we went in there very focused.
Yep.
And Coach got the edge there.
And the edge that he was talking about earlier, you have no idea. G-Man, I mean, literally, he came in with a hard hat, a pickaxe, and a lunch pail when we started the scout meeting that week. So we knew what we were in for. We knew exactly what we were in for.
Coach would go, listen, don't believe anything you read. And he basically just gave him a lot of credit for all that they did, kind of killed them with kindness. And he goes, but then we're going to jump their ass come Saturday. And we were prepared. We knew from the travel range, you had to fly into Harrisburg, take the bus to Happy Valley, and that sometimes people don't understand it. We went into a hotel that was the old motel style. You had to enter the outside. You got people driving around. Everything he said, we saw. So we were totally prepared. And then we just went out and played and really had a great game.
And then the following year, our senior year, they were really, really good. I think they were ranked third in the country or something like that. They were top five. And we missed the field goal at the end, and it was a long field goal, but we came back from half, Coach. I don't know if you remember this. We were down significantly, a couple touchdowns, but Ronnie entered the game, and then that was Ron Dane, his true freshman year, kind of took over from there, and we were this close, and we really took it to him.
That's where Joe Pa was wounded. They were wounded coming out. That's what you alluded to earlier.
They were totally
wounded. He called me the next week. He called me like Wednesday. And that's their first year in the league. And he said, I just came out of a meeting. My guy just told my guys, we got to change how we recruit. What do you mean, Coach? He said, we're so beat up, we haven't practiced yet this week. It's Wednesday. They got a game. He said, We got to get bigger guys. You guys beat us up so bad. My guys haven't even practiced yet. And that changed their whole philosophy.
Coach, where'd you get a pickaxe?
He's got to ask.
He's from PA.
Listen, I grew up in Western Pennsylvania. You can find a pickaxe when you want one.
All right, so
and a shovel.
So what's Luke Fickell's pickaxe this year? Is we got a whole litany of new people coming in?
I don't know. I go watch him practice. I don't know all the guys' names. I don't know all the assistants. I just go down and like to watch practice. Guys know the players and that better than me. But I think Luke feels like I do. I think he has a good, nice team. I think they're going to be competitive. They can do a lot of things. They can throw it around. They can run it. They got good running backs. I think defensively, there's no reason why they shouldn't be a hell of a team.
Is there a reason to be more excited this season than last season?
Yeah, I think they're better, and you got a coach who understands Wisconsin and Madison and the university better and his team better. Absolutely,
I think that every position, well, except I think the defensive line. But these defensive line needs a little bit of work, but they could tie guys up. They could get the job done. The linebackers are better. The secondary is better. The O-line's better. The running back room is better, despite losing Braylon. Braylon was hurt most of the year.
We got competition once again in the quarterback room.
Competition. Our receivers are more mature. So I think this team's set up to compete week in and week out. And that's to go back to your point, like, they could win. What happens, you got to develop the chemistry and you got to get hot and you got to be healthy.
So, G-Man, what transpired last year, there's only 1 year, right? You have to, and Coach did this, and this is what Coach Fickell's doing now with his players, but Coach did this with us. Every single thing was a competition in and out of that facility. If you're at a bowl game, I mean, it doesn't matter. We got competition. There's competition built within the program, and we lost some of that, and that's what Luke's trying to do. And I think he's turning the – I mean, you start to see it amongst the players, and then they do it within themselves. That's how you build a team.
I remember going to the squat off when they were measuring this. All of a sudden, they brought a rope out, and they did a tug of war.
Tark. It's not a new invention.
Well, it was an Olympic sport at one point.
You forgot. You must have missed that day.
I remember.
Did you lose? Are you scratching from the menu?
Did we invent the tug of war?
In the old shell.
Right there.
In the old shell, it's not going to be no longer.
This is the Great Dane Huddle. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside our usual guys for the football season. And, of course, Barry Alvarez joins the show today. We're talking a little bit about the culture of the team and what's going on. And Luke Fickell has generated excitement around the country, right? I was just in Columbus, Ohio. I know it's a scary place. But I was there visiting my girlfriend's family. And they know about Luke Fickell. And they believe in him. For the first time, it feels like, since I've been, an avid fan and participant, we're on their radar because of him. Coach, what have you seen that he's been doing this year?
Well, I understand. Luke grew up there. He played there.
Yeah.
He's an Ohio guy, and they know him. And then he coached there and had success as the coach there, and then at Cincinnati. So he's an Ohio guy. So he's well-known there and well-respected there. But what I've seen, I think he's adapted here really well, and what he believes in is the things that that have made us successful here over the years. So he understands Wisconsin. He understands, he played against us. And he played. He went in nose to nose with Derek.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah,
apparently
he's got
some film that we're going to watch.
Just kidding, Derek.
Well,
you're going to watch? Are we going to have a is it pay-per-view?
Hey,
us watching
listen.
This deal?
When you have
pay a lot of money,
Coach Alvarez gave me offensive player of the game in that game, by the way. But apparently, Luke got defensive player of the game. So when you have a center and the nose guard getting players of the game, that's not a very interesting game. It was 17-14, by the way. Mm. And it was a bloodbath. An absolute bloodbath. They had, I think, eight guys on their defense go to the league. Eight. Never mind their offense and what our defense did, what Tarek and Monty and all those guys did. We were a little limited on some guys over on defense, but they played their ass off because they had players over there. I'm just saying, We went to the Shoe, and we gave them everything we got. And if it wasn't for Chili's dumbass call, we win the game. Period.
We run a quarterback sneak with Mike
Sander. 10 or 11.
We win the game.
I'll take Fickell where I want to. 10 or 11, right or left, and we win.
Here's the thing about Luke, too, is like, you know, he understands all the pomp and circumstance that goes beyond recruiting, and he gets all the fancy bells and whistles because your generation, Alex G, you gotta put on Saved by the Bell. You gotta have all these TV. You gotta everything, right?
And Saved by the Bell.
But that's my old show.
Yeah,
but anyway,
yeah, I was gonna say that's too old for me, man.
There's a line that he draws where he cuts off the BS, and he's just like, dude, you're gonna show up and be physical and compete, or you're not. Because I feel like these other places never get to that point. They may tell you to move on eventually with a passive aggressive way. I think Luke just ultimately have to fulfill your obligation and be a dude. And if you're not, then you're gonna get out. So that's what a program needs. You need to define what the expectation is.
Accountability.
That's what Coach did. That's why we won. You gotta have, it's not a free ride.
You follow the plan and be accountable, and then believe in the guys around you.
Unless you have a lifetime scholarship, then. You're good. You're good.
Good to go.
One of those go out every 100 years, so you got to get one of those.
I'm going to be responsible and accountable for the clock here. We got to get to break. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. The Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN Madison. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Derek Engler and Tarek Salah and, of course, Barry Alvarez. And we've been talking nothing but Badgers. I am a diehard. I'm a big Badger fan. I love being a part of that. But I'm also a Packer fan. And
Cowboys fans here.
Oh, Cowboys fans. Yeah. Right. Well, we're Wisconsin fans. And you've got a pass catcher of your own in the league, right?
I do.
Absolutely. And I'd love to know what you think a little bit about him, obviously. But we can talk about that off-air because we've got a ton of fans here.
I know.
Who are dying to hear what we think about the wide receiver position on the Packers. The pass catching is interesting because there's a ton of guys who could be blown up at any moment. But what do you think is important about not having a number one receiver, right? Matt LaFleur came out and said that he doesn't believe that the Packers have a number one, and he wants to throw up every time that he hears it. Do you think that that's the right message to be sending, Coach?
Well, I never felt that was necessary, that you had a number one. You better have good receivers. That's what I want, good receivers. I don't necessarily have to have a number one receiver that we're going to go to all the time or we're going to lean on. At that level, they better have three of them that can play and guys that you can count on. So I understand what he's saying.
Yeah, and I think, Coach, furthermore, you want to be number one receiver? Go out and do it. Then nobody's differentiating themselves.
There shouldn't be a vote. Yeah. I shouldn't have to stamp somebody number one.
It's like Secretariat. The guy who eats first, and because he's the best, and all the other horses know it.
You're eating first.
If you're going to go out, you want to be number one.
Tarek's just munching on some soup over here. He's late to the segment with his headphones on.
Yeah. He's trying to send a message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's eating first.
Absolutely. I'm eating first.
That's why you're in the UW Hall of Fame.
Dude, thank you. Absolutely. I appreciate that.
I mean, obviously Joe Burrow wants his guy, Ja'Marr Chase, to get signed, right? I mean, I don't know what his salary, $4 million, whatever. All those other receivers got paid.
Yeah.
And Ja'Marr Chase is right in that conversation, if not the best of all of them. So you have those types of scenarios. I get it. But the coach's point, in Green Bay's situation, no, it's on Jordan Love. You know, by the way, Everybody forget about what Tom Brady did with no-name receivers for years. Get that quarterback right. Get solid receivers. Fit them in the roles. Get a slot. Get a fly. I mean, if you get it right, it doesn't matter. To coach's point, you have a good handful, three receivers that have their roles, and you got a good quarterback, you're good.
These guys should be lucky that they have Jordan Love, that he's actually coming out and being mature, you know, and growing in the light that he is. That's exciting. I'm fired up for the Packer season. Do they play the Cowboys this year, Coach? You know that?
No.
They don't. All right, maybe in the playoffs then.
I'm a little shocked to hear you, of all people, Derek, saying that you're a Cowboys fan.
Well, I grew up a Cowboys fan. And then playing with the Giants, obviously, it was super cool for me to play the Cowboys. But then see the grandson, you know, of our coach out there and being the number one guy, by the way.
Yeah.
And by the way, coming out of college, got poo-pooed on left and right, you know. And you start to talk to people, scouts and GMs within the league, they knew he was a football player. That's intangible that you can't evaluate. Only the real good scouts and GMs know that. They found one. So,
all right. Well, let's get one last quick. What do you think? The 17-game season, what is the Packers' final record? Tarek.
Oh, God. I'm going to go I at least 11 wins.
11 wins.
I'll go 12-5, actually.
12-5.
My number was 12.
Yeah. 12 yeah. wins from the coach. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, guys. Thanks for joining us, Barry.
Absolutely.
We'll be back next week.
Maybe.
Oh, I'm invited. Are you back next week?
No, he's on a tour.
It's just you and me, so he can't kick me off anyway.
Well, Coach might join us.
All righty.
Please.
To be determined.
Thanks,
I'm Alex Gravatt.
Thanks, Coach.
This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN.
Coach.